From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's May the 12th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the president will veto the farm bill. And Iowa's Tom Harkin says, fine, you veto it, and we'll just use the 1949 Act. He has no plans for an extension of the 2002 legislation. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And are you considering changing to a shorter seasoned hybrid to accommodate a later corn planting date? We'll tell you why you might just stand pat instead. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat contract, a $7.93.5 settlement price, 2 cents higher on the day. July futures at 8.05.5 up a penny, and September at 8.19.75 up 1.25 for the afternoon. May corn futures down 15 cents at 6.03.5, July 6.14.75, 14.5 lower. And September at 626.75, down 14.25. December corn 637.75, down 12.25. May soybean futures $13.35, down 14.5 cents for the day. July at 13.42.5, 15.5 lower. And the August contract $13.37.5, down 15.75. September futures 12.25 lower at $13.12.5. And November beans $12.89.25. Down 14.5. Live cattle futures $94.30. The last trade and settlement price 22.5 cents lower. For the June contract, August there at $100.10, down a dime for the day. May feeder cattle at 107.92.5, 57.5 higher on the afternoon. The August futures at 110.77.5, up 85 cents. And the May lean hogs $80.47.5, up 25. June futures traded at the end of the day, $77.02.5, finished 15 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Outside markets for the afternoon look like this today. June futures in the crude oil are trading now at $124.15 a barrel. They're down $1.81. July futures at $125.50, down 50 for the day. June ethanol at $257.7, down 2.7. And July futures at $254, down 3.1. Natural gas trading the June contract $11.29.4. They're 24.3 lower. July futures at $11.42.9, down 22.8 for the day. Heat and oil, this is the diesel fuel, $3.55.8. Down 7.7 for the day. July at 357 even. They're down 7 cents even. Propane futures at $1.74 on their last trade. These are usually about a day late, but that's the last time they traded. They're at $1.74, and they were 15 cents higher on the last trade. Gold futures, May contract, $883.70, down 8 cents on the afternoon. And June futures at $84.90, down 90 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,899. It's just about 154 points lower for the day. Mike Sola has the forecast for the two-state region. He says it looks like this tonight across the two states, mainly clear in Illinois and Indiana. Lows will range from near 40 in northeastern Indiana to 52 in the western part of Illinois. Tomorrow, Mike says, sunny early, then some clouds increasing from west to east during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow in the low to middle 70s. The rain will return to western Illinois, he says, by Tuesday evening. That'll spread across Illinois Tuesday night and across Indiana during the day on Wednesday. Most areas will receive less than an inch of rain. The heaviest precip expected in southern Illinois, with a half to a full inch. Some of the locally heavier rains up to as much as 2 inches in southern Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we've had 2 days worth of trade since we had the USDA reports out on Friday morning. We done with those and moving on to weather now?
I believe so. The USDA did set the tone, especially on a new crop, by using their acreage estimates they accumulated over the winter and put a trend line estimate in their eyes or where they feel the crop should start out. And as you move that yield up and down a few bushels, that'll move that bottom line quite a bit. But also, too, we'll also throw in some demand factors. We're at, record levels, so, the question is, will demand slow? And the USDA really didn't back off on meat demand a whole lot at these levels. So, the report's out. We know the numbers. We've got the balance sheet to work with. Now it's a matter of fine-tuning it every 6 hours according to what the weather says or every day as demand either shows or slows.
And then was the weather the primary driver in the drop of the corn market today?
Well, we feel that's part of it, yes. We had anticipation of maybe a positive number. We priced the positive number in. Now where we go from here, we're a little bit overbought after Friday. Then with the weather being a little bit drier and ideas that we could maybe see some planned progress resume here this week, that it gave reason to sell off. Also, too, we saw the outside markets, such as energies, back off during the day, crude oil down over $1 a barrel, and the gold's a little lower, and that indicated that maybe it's time to sort of back and fill here. The market did reverse down in the soybeans. We made some new highs. The November beans matched their high they made there back in middle of April and sort of failed. So if you look at the short-term charts in the beans especially, we got a little bit of a so-called double top here near today's highs, and it warrants maybe some consolidation for a few days.
When you say that the market was looking towards and anticipating something, I assume you're meaning the crop progress report this afternoon, or was it the reports from Friday morning that showed some bullish sides to it?
Oh, I meant the bullishness on Friday's report.
Okay.
There. The beans being a little bit more of a bullish surprise than anticipated, but that's in the marketplace. But you're correct on the statement there. We'll be looking forward to this afternoon's planting progress report to see where we are as a nation. And those estimates on corn range anywhere from 45 to 60% complete, and beans anywhere from 10 to 30% complete. But the interesting states to watch, of course, will be the breakdown here in Illinois into Missouri, up through Iowa and Minnesota. Minnesota was the one really struggling, and they're one of the top grain producers. Now, not to leave out Indiana and Ohio, they're all important states, too.
And as you talk to producers, who seems to be the most behind, in your opinion, at this point?
It seems to be the Blue Hill, Missouri, portions of Missouri. You take southern Illinois, the southern third of Illinois, they're really having problems with too much moisture. Then you can swing it up into northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. And there's some other areas, too, don't get me wrong. I know, especially if it's your own farm there. But those seem to be the key areas right now that's really just having a hard time getting a good go.
How large of an area in Iowa, maybe parts of and of northern Illinois, started to catch up now?
Yeah, they're slowly making some headway. They've had a few good days. But there's some spots in there where guys are only about half done in some areas there. But for the most part, as you go northward in through here, just about everyone's gotten a fairly decent start.
And what are your expectations over this week's trade?
Well, the way the market reacted today, I think we're sort of back in fill mode. We wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a correction here falling in tomorrow. Then we look for these breaks to still be bought in here as the funds continue. We'll to be a buyer in on breaks. And also, too, if a lot of uncertainty in front of us here, we feel that the pullbacks in here are still going to be supported through the week.
What kind of number this afternoon in the planting report would give the market pause to believe that the corn crop will get in what might be still considered at least a somewhat timely fashion?
Well, if we, I think the benchmark will be 50%. You know, it's still behind 75-77% on the averages, but you know, if we're above 50%, feel the trade will consider that as somewhat a little bit negative. That we're making some headway. Anything below 50% will give reason for the market to probably see some strength here in the night trade or trade tomorrow. But probably, other than the national number, I think they will analyze the state-by-state numbers. I think they're going to take a hard look at Iowa, and I think they're going to take a hard look at Minnesota on corn to see where they are compared to their average.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Well, the livestock sector took a little bit of breather today, but we sort of filled the Memorial Day weekend demand, and once we get past late month in here, we'll start to focus on cookout featuring, but we have a cattle and feed report here at the end of the week, and the grain market's been a dynamic market, but this livestock market's going to be the next to follow.
Okay, thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing, Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing mark report. That one happens each and every Monday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, Dave Dickey will join us, or in just about a minute, Dave Dickey will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, the Bush administration says it will follow through on its threat to veto the farm bill. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says the measure is, quote, wasteful and irresponsible.
We'd probably recommend a 2 years extension on that. Maybe, we can change the dynamics of the conversation. I'd rather see the new structure of the farm bill today, if we could get the provisions that we need from the administration standpoint. But, Congress hasn't shown a willingness to do that, so, we would be looking at an extension of the current law.
The Farm Bill spends more than $600 billion over 10 years, the majority, almost 74%, going to nutritional programs. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says if a veto is successful, there will not be further Farm Bill negotiation.
If people think, if the Secretary, I heard his conference today, and he was talking about a 2-year extension of the present bill. Well, yeah, that's it. Extend the bill for 2 years. As far as I'm concerned, that ain't going to happen. I cannot see calling our committee together to pass an extension. So if he vetoes the bill, looks like we'll be back on the 49 Act.
One of the biggest changes in the new Farm Bill proposal is creation of an optional average crop revenue election program. Producers who voluntarily sign up would agree to give up 20% of their direct payments and take a 30% cut in the loan rates for loan deficiency payments in exchange for a state-based revenue guarantee on acres planted up to 90% of the state average yield calculated against a national average price for the crops. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the bill could have gone farther in terms of reforms. A close vote on whether a veto would stand is expected in the House. In the Senate, though, the president may be successful with a veto. Both the Senate and House are expected to bring up the farm bill for floor votes this week. A DTN poll says conservation reserve program payments are falling way behind cash rent rates, and that 55% of respondents say CRP rates need to go up as much as 30% to be competitive with cash rents in their areas. In 2007, the national cash rent rate for farmland was $85 an acre. The average CRP payment was $43.84. In March, USDA increased its average CRP payment by 30 cents an acre for general sign-up. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, asking you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. There you'll find our daily Radio Ag programming. You can listen to it on your computer as an MP3 file or download it directly as a podcast to that computer and then transfer it over to your iPod. It's all easy to do. Instructions are on the website. You can sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's listed on the right-hand side of the page. It's free, too. Just hit subscribe. And you can check out the latest numbers from the USDA reports. They're normally posted within 15 minutes of the reports being released. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, the later into the month of May it gets, the more likely it seems farmers will be inclined to opt for a shorter seasoned corn hybrid. But as you'll hear, that decision may not be necessary. Corn farmers may be tempted to swap their full-seasoned hybrids for shorter-seasoned varieties. It's probably not the best choice, says University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger.
The term full-season, though, doesn't keep its meaning over time. And what we call full-season today, probably 30 or 40 years ago, might not have been more than a mid-season. In other words, we've kind of backed that back, and I think companies have seen that you can get a little more stability off of some of the earlier hybrids, and they've spent some of their resources in breeding on developing hybrids that are a little bit earlier. So we have this phenomenon now where you can see the same corn hybrid growing in northern Illinois as in southern Illinois. That means it's actually fairly early season for southern Illinois, and northern Illinois it would certainly be fuller season. Our concern right now as planting gets delayed, if it gets delayed past mid-May, would be the very fullest season hybrids that somebody has gotten in northern Illinois. In central and southern Illinois, it's not much of an issue.
Nafziger says the central and southern Illinois, quote, full-seasoned hybrids are not very full even when compared to northern Illinois. On that note, Nafziger does say farmers in the northern part of the state must be wary of their fullest seasoned hybrids. They could get frosted at the end of this season.
It's something I haven't seen in Illinois very much, if any, and it would only be a case where you'd get that September frost event in northern Illinois. But it's something that we ought to pay maybe a little bit attention to. We're always very reluctant to suggest that people change out hybrids at this point. You're never going to get your first choice hybrids now anymore. And if you take things that are considerably earlier than you had planned to take before, then they're ones that maybe even haven't been tested very much in your location.
The bottom line, says Nafziger, is farmers should, for now, go with their first choice hybrids.
So we think it's best to just hold tight, stand pat, and if it gets past the 25th or so of May, then in northern Illinois, if you have something that's 114 or 115 day, and most people don't, that's unusually late for their, but you'd probably want to consider switching it to an earlier one at that point.
Whatever the case, Emerson Nafziger says it will be a planting season to remember for sure. Once the corn is in the ground and a few days have passed, farmers will feel a little better about the crop yet to come. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Marker Report. Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market today. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I saw a big semi making a run into the elevator full of corn today on my way in. I suspect you might have had some of that happening at your place, too.
A little bit. Guys are looking for things to do while they wait for the ground to dry out and get back to planting. We had, in general, about an inch and a half rain yesterday on Mother's Day, so guys are taking advantage of the sunshine to do a little grain hauling.
It's awfully wet out there to put grain in the ground, but of course they are hauling out of the bins. What kind of bids do you have for the day?
I'm sorry, say that again, Todd. I didn't hear you.
Sounds like you're having a party there.
Yeah, I know. I apologize about the noise. A lot of people coming in today, like I said, with the weather being wet, trying to find things to do. So go ahead.
What are they asking about?
Well, I think mainly, you know, obviously the market's a little nervous, or traders are a little nervous right now, wanting to know if we're progressing in a better weather forecast here in the next week. Not this week, but next week, looking a little drier. So farmer wants to know if the market's going to taper off here in the short term, and I think it just depends on how bullish the progress numbers are this afternoon.
What would you consider a bullish progress number?
I would say anything less than 50% nationwide is probably going to be friendly. I think right now the general guess, I heard Kurt say somewhere between 45 and 60%, and I think anything over 50 is probably a little optimistic at this point, because Iowa, I can't see how they had a lot of opportunity to get many things done last week with two rain systems hitting them. So we'll have to wait and see. I think it's state by state. Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri are three states they're concerned with, and also Illinois to add in there as well. So we'll see how we shake out this afternoon.
Your elevator draws corn from a large region in Illinois and Indiana. How big is it, and then who's behind and who's almost done?
I would say we did this with a discussion in the office the other day. Everything south of 80, east of 55 in Bloomington, north of 70, which may be a little further north than that, maybe 36 is probably a better parameter. But that little block is what's pulled Illinois up. Everywhere else, you're probably less than 50% done on corn. East, I think Indiana's probably in the same camp that East Central Illinois is in spots. There's a very good progression. Other areas were lagging a little bit. But for the most part, the further you go east, the drier it's been, the more you've been able to get done in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. Illinois is kind of the mix in between. And then obviously west of the Mississippi, it's been a little bit more of a problem spot.
At this late date, what do you suppose has the most explosive to the upside potential, either corn or soybeans?
I'd still say corn, because I think you have to look at the agronomic magical date of May 15th, and the fact is, you come in tonight, and if the progress is less than 50%, half of your national corn crop is going to go after that date, and people are going to start to wonder how we can come up close to trend line yields with that expectation. So corn, to me, is still the most friendly. It's the one that's going to have the tightest carryout, and also the need to get those acres back going into 2009.
Yeah.
So until things change with the ethanol mandates, if and when that happens, you know, the corn market's going to stay very friendly.
Your bids for the day?
We're 590 for cash corn. Fall is 598. Cash soybeans, 1317. Fall beans, 1204.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website, the address, willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our next segment. It'll be posted by about 3 o'clock Central Time, our weather segment. Today we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. That'll happen in 2 minutes right here on this radio station, or you can find it at 3 o'clock on our website. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Nutty Fudge Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1777, according to the International Dairy Foods Association, the first ice cream advertisement appeared in the New York Gazette. In 1934, dust shut out the sun over the East Coast for 5 hours, and dust is reported settling on ships 300 miles out to sea in what was the first nationwide environmental disaster. The Dust Bowl days of the 1930s were caused by the clearing of virgin prairie with plows, long drought, and high winds, and it resulted in the formation of the USDA Soil Conservation Service. In 1991, a new cancer drug was announced, which was found in the bark of a rare tree in the Pacific Northwest. And in 1994, Roy J. Pluckett died. He was the inventor of Teflon in 1938. Its invention was an accident. During World War II, the new polymer was applied as a corrosion-resisting coating to protect metal equipment used in the production of radioactive material. The first non-stick cookware using Teflon was sold in 1960. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Will we have drier weather in the next week and a half?
Oh, I don't know that I can say that with a straight face. Things will not be as wet as they were with this weekend event. That's the good news. However, temperatures are an issue upcoming, as the pattern feels more like an early to mid-April pattern here than a mid-May pattern, with colder, much colder than normal temperatures over the next 5 to 7 days. We still have waves of low pressure moving through the region. There are going to be lighter precip amounts associated with each one of those waves, but they're still coming every 3 to 4 days. Temps are well below normal, so obviously those two spell issues for trying to get into the fields for planting and other field work.
Sure, that'll keep fields wet because they aren't heating up as much, and the corn that is in the ground, oil seeds too, won't pop out nearly as fast because
right.
The temperatures are cold. How cold are we talking about?
Oh, you know, in the belt here, I think you get a couple days of breaks like we've seen over the past weeks where you're in the 60s and down near 70 in the southern portions of Illinois, but there'll be a lot of days here coming up where you're just overcast and even some drizzle in the air. You see temps maybe breaking 50, 55, but it's really the nighttime lows that are an issue here, too, that will be in the 40s and down in southern Illinois near 50. But generally, we're talking 10 to 15 degrees below normal for the next 7 to 10 days.
Even outside today, I think it's, 61 or 60 there, about 61 outside the studios now here. And it feels awfully crisp out there. Is this a northern kind of air that's still coming in?
It is, and it's really a continuation of the pattern we've seen since February and March, where there's much colder than normal air across northern Canada. And that air, the overall configuration just continues to favor that air moving into the northern plains and then into the Midwest. And thankfully, there are signs as we get into the last 5-10 days of May that this pattern may start to break out and we start to build some of the warmth that we're seeing down in the southern portions of the country. So I think there is light at the end of the tunnel, but when we get that warm up in temperatures, you're probably going to see enhanced precipitation again. So more events like we maybe saw this past weekend could evolve last 5-10 days of May into early June. So we warm up, but you may get more rain as a result, which, again, is I don't think there's an easy path forward, an easy way here forward.
Any good reason for the persistence of the northern jet streams to sag this low and keep us cooler and wetter over the last couple of weeks?
You know what? On a very large-scale perspective, we think a lot has to do with the sea surface temperatures in the Pacific, actually, in this cold rim of water that goes from Japan all the way over to California and then into the equatorial region of the Pacific. We think that's driving a dominant pattern. It's driving the overall jet stream configuration. So summer is going to evolve here eventually, and then we'll get the pattern moving further north and get into warmer conditions.
And this might be one of those years where you snap the fingers and it changes?
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. Don't forget to visit the website, willag.org. You can find the ag programming from this radio station, Closing Market Report and Commodity Week posted there. Not long after we aired on the radio station is an MP3 file. You can pick it up as a podcast, too. It'll be delivered directly to your computer. Be sure to join us tomorrow for the Closing Market Report. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.